Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great, but I'm really wondering what happened to all my wonderful toys. Oh, that's right. They're still in the attic.
You have an attic?
I do. I have an attic, and it's full of all my G.I. Joes from when I was a kid, because my dad told me to take them or he was going to throw them away.
You have them? That's awesome.
I do. Yes. I even have the big one with the two giant missiles that come up out of it.
Why are they not out, Matt?
Because I don't have room for them down here.
You
my
have
display
room.
Case is full
There's
of...
plenty of walls. Put more things in your walls and then put those G.I. Joes on those things.
It's tempting. I probably will when it comes time to clean out the attic.
Anyway, hey guys out there, how you guys doing? G.I. Joe Talk here, and Matt just brought me back some nostalgia. Before we get going, just like to say we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. No new names to thank this week again, but I would like to say I've posted a lot of new stuff. We have a new Litica. I recorded me playing Virtual Bart on the Super Nintendo for like 40 minutes. Doesn't hold up.
Oh, Virtual Bart.
Yeah, it doesn't. There's one good game in that, one good mini game. But you can look at that and see, get a little flashback. We just posted a new bonus episode, breaking down the first episode of Futurama with our patron Robbie. Share a name.
So it's totally a different person.
Totally,
I can swear
person.
This.
Yeah, they're a different guy. I've posted three articles so far. I'm going to be posting a new one probably today or tomorrow. Well, it's actually yesterday, time of recording. By the time you hear this, it'll be yesterday, I think. So now's the good time to chip in $2 a month, and you get access to all of this content. Plus, if you want to, you know, go to higher levels, you get more stuff. If you don't want to support us that way, you can support us also by just going to iTunes, subscribing, reviewing, giving us 5 stars. If you don't know what to say, simply say, Robbie and Matt are very handsome men. I like their show.
That first part is probably not true, but the second part, definitely true.
On to this week's episode. It is Rosebud, episode 1F01, originally aired October 21st, 1993, written by John Swartzwelder, the most prolific of the Simpsons writers, directed by David Merkin, finished 33rd in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 11.9, second highest rated show on Fox after Married with Children. Can't win them all.
They're going to go back and forth until Married with Children ends.
That's the thing. The Simpsons may not always finish first in the ratings on Fox, but they outlast all the other shows on Fox.
I'm pretty sure they've outlasted every show on every network.
That is very true as well.
Except for soap operas.
Cops.
That's
still
true.
Cops is still running.
Cops will never fail because there will always be terrible people.
There will always be people getting arrested doing dumb stuff. Couch gag. Family sees the clones of themselves, copies on the couch. No chalkboard gag.
Weird.
No time, I'm guessing. Episode guest stars the Ramones, who were apparently huge fans and had counted this as one of their career highlights.
You know, I can definitely see why the Ramones would enjoy The Simpsons. It's as subversive as they had attempted to be.
Exactly. The Simpsons were a very subversive show. The Ramones, you know, as one of the seminal punk rock bands. It makes sense. Episode begins with Burns Manor. We see a bunch of signs that are all threatening. Except for I believe they're giving away kittens, which may be a trap.
It's probably a trap. I can't imagine Mr. Burns giving away kittens. He would probably skin them and turn them into some kind of
clothing
accessory.
I mean, that's canon.
That's canon.
Canon. We don't need to do other podcast references in this.
But they're awesome. They deserve it.
Campaign is great. Guys, check out Campaign. Great podcast. There's also guards outside the Wizard of Oz, guards that are chanting, "All we own, we owe." There's apparently a huge controversy online about what the guards in actual Wizard of Oz are saying. They're saying this. It's the Wizard of Oz is a critique on politics from the early 1900s, right? Or 1890s or something. You didn't know that, Matt?
1890s, I would assume, but I did not realize they were part of that.
Well, I mean, like, it's about, like, the Yellow Brick Road was about the gold standard, you know, because the currency was all based on, at that time, there's an argument about if we should base our currency on, you know, gold or silver,
right.
And, you know, all this the Tin Man, like there's a whole, everything represents something. And all we own, we owe was a oblique reference, I believe, to communism at the time. But
interesting.
It's not
I will have to look into that.
It's not a good book, but it is interesting about all the metaphors in it. Burns is having bad dreams, shouting out, you know, muttering Bobo in his sleep. We get a flashback to young little child Burns, otherwise known as Happy.
Tra-la-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la, I am the happiest boy there is, aren't I, Bobo?
Happy! Come here, Happy!
Yes, Mumsy?
Happy, would you like to continue living with us, your loving natural parents? Or would you rather live with this twisted, loveless billionaire? Let's roll! Wait! You forgot your bear! A symbol of your lost youth and innocence!
Well,
oh, you cut out the best part.
The best part?
Totally, the best part of the episode, the George Burns.
Yes, there's a reference that apparently George Burns is Mr. Burns' brother, younger brother, and that is certainly not the best part of this episode.
That's true, it's not. I'm screwing you.
But we see, this is the first time we've seen a flashback to Burns, I guess, after he's been adopted, but this is... when he's a happy, innocent, I guess the last time he was innocent, honestly. Yeah.
And it was the last time ever.
Yeah.
For any reason he was innocent.
Yeah. Burns wants, Bobo back and, Smithers hears him talking about it and Burns is kind of ashamed of wanting his childhood toy back. He tries to make pass it off that he wants them to bring back Sheriff Lobo.
Which is true. They should bring back Sheriff Lobo.
No, they should not. Homer, we cut directly from that to Homer, who is actually authentically saying, bring back Sheriff Lobo in his sleep. Homer would like those awful sitcoms from that time period, which includes Sheriff Lobo. He is dreading Burns' birthday, which is coming up, because it involves a big party. Everyone is given some kind of duty, and his is usually terrible. We get a cut to him serving as the guy who holds the pinata and then gets beaten by Burns, even though Burns, I don't think would, if he hit you with a stick, I don't think it would hurt you that much, would it?
Probably not, especially if it's Burns, because he's super weak.
Yeah. We get Homer is chosen. Actually, I mean, it's not a, I guess it, it's probably actually, for me, it'd be a worse job because you actually have to, be in front of people and, be a personality. He's basically making, Burns sees him on a security camera being laughed at, which he confuses with him being funny.
Which is totally not true. Homer is not a funny individual, especially in a stand-up kind of way.
Yeah, that's the thing. He's being laughed at because he's being stupid, because he left hangers in his clothes, but... Burns thinks that, he'll be great at performing bits. We see him writing them in the kitchen with the family. They're not good.
Oh, I'm so funny. This is going to be great.
What are you doing?
I'm writing a delicious send-up of Mr. Burns for his birthday party. Is poopoo one word or two?
I don't think it's a good idea to humiliate your boss on his birthday.
Actually, Mom, a tweaking of Mr. Burns' foibles, if done with the greatest of care, could earn Dad a special place in the old man's heart.
Well, I also do a delightful impression of him. I paint a frowny face on my butt and pull down my pants.
Yeah! Yeah, that's Homer's idea of comedy.
Real quick, sorry to interrupt. You're using the Skype still, right?
Yes.
Because I forgot to hit record.
Yes, I still have it, Matt.
Okay, good, just making sure.
I'm also having some cat drama right now.
Yay, cat drama. Sorry, go ahead. My bad.
Okay. But that is Homer's idea of humor, is insulting people. He's an insult comic. He's just not good at it. There are comedians out there who can do it really well. He is not one of them.
That is so very true.
He's just bad. And then the butt thing. I love the Lisa and Marge share. Whenever they do a shared murmur, it's the best.
So great. Because you can actually see that Lisa is her daughter.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever you see, I love it when you can see that they are actually their children. We cut to the party. There's a number of people in attendance. Burns is a rich and powerful man. Multiple presidents.
He forced his employees to be there.
Yeah, he does force his employees to be there. But apparently, there's multiple presidents there. We see Reagan. We see Bush Senior is kicked out. He's not allowed in because there's no one termers allowed, and he's
exactly.
He's out. He's left out in the cold with Jimmy Carter, who he doesn't like.
Does anyone really like Jimmy Carter? Come
I
on
like
now.
Jimmy Carter. He's I know people who've actually met Jimmy Carter. He's a very personal and nice person.
I have no doubt. Jimmy Carter's awesome. He has a PhD.
Yeah, he's a really smart guy. And I'm fairly certain that all the presidents are kind of buddies with each other, because once you're president, there's not very many other guys who have been president. Like,
yeah, your peer group is pretty small.
Yeah, you're like, hey, you know what it's like to be hated by half of the nation or more?
Probably more.
Yeah, more. You know, it's not something you can just relate to anyone. We get the Ramones, which is the best part of this episode.
There are several fine young men who I'm sure are going to go far. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ramones.
These minstrels will soothe my jangled nerves.
I'd just like to say this gig sucks.
Hey, up yours, Springfield.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hell, you old bastard.
Hey, I think they liked us.
Have the Rolling Stones killed.
Oh, sir, those aren't...
Do as I say.
It's rough to be a rock star in the Simpsons universe, because apparently Burns will have you killed at the drop of a hat.
That joke is kind of hidden how smart that joke is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Ramones, even at this time, had been around for 15 years, more, 20 at this point, you know, late 70s. And they were, so they're...
Still, people are getting them confused.
Well, and that Mr. Burns is so out of touch that he thinks that they're the Rolling Stones, which has been a band for 40 years at the time of this. And they're like a young hip band to Mr. Burns, which it's just, there's just levels, there's layers and layers. It's like onions.
Like ogres.
Like ogres as well. Burns opens his presents, which include a unicorn. There was a unicorn there. Piles of gold.
Of course
gold.
There was. Where else would there... I mean, come on. Of course he gets a unicorn. What else would he get?
I think if I got a unicorn for a present... Oh, I forgot. No. He does open his presents before Homer. Homer then goes on, and, he's not... Smithers introduces him, and he bombs. You'll see why.
I have some sad news to report. A small puppy, not unlike Lassie, was just run over in the parking lot. And now it's time for the comedy stylings of Homer Simpson.
Are you ready to laugh?
Oh, that poor dog.
I said, are you ready to laugh?
Quiet, you awful man.
You know, Mr. Burns is so cheap.
What?
I mean, Mr. Burns is so old.
How dare you?
Woohoo. Tough crowd.
Oh, Homer, you're such an idiot.
Yeah, and then he does pull out his closer, which is him pulling his pants down and mimicking Burns with his butt. This is the last straw for Burns, and he ends the party. He orders Homer destroyed, which is great.
Well, you know,
destroyed
makes
that
sense.
Man. And we cut to Burns. Like, he is melancholic. He has a malaise about him. And Smithers is, you know, Smithers knows that it's about Bobo, and we see Burns' collection of art and loot, and it's quite massive, a painting of Mark Twain in the nude, and...
Why would anybody have that? My God, that's terrifying.
You know, it's Americana. Mark Twain.
Fair enough.
Okay. And we eventually gets the heart. Yes, he misses Bobo, and we go on a journey. He's like, I wonder where Bobo went after I lost him. Lost, quote-unquote, dropped him. We see that it ends up in Lindbergh's hands. He kind of goes on a Forrest Gump-esque journey. We get a little montage of that, and he ends up in Europe, ends up in Hitler's hands, and then he is frozen in the Antarctic like Captain America.
He is the hero that America deserves. Bobo is.
Bobo is okay. I was like, Captain America. Of course he is. Apu gets his ice from Antarctica.
Where else are you going to get it for $4 a bag?
It starts to explain why his prices are so high, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the best at sourcing those kind of things.
Yeah, if you have to pay for Antarctic ice, I guess it makes sense you have to charge $20 for you know, a soda or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in a bag of ice. It just happens. Bart is getting ice for his father's sore head after he's been beaten. And he pulls out the bear. It looks gross. It's Bobo. He throws it to Maggie. And we cut to the name tag as we go to commercial.
Well, multiple tags trying to find the names.
That's true. It's its own gag.
Good visual gag. When we come back, we see Smithers in a costume trying to cheer Burns up, essentially. And, of course, Burns is having none of this, but has Smithers leave the costume because, well, they just had to find a way to make it more creepy, and hey, they did.
Well, he wants the costume because it probably does remind him of Bobo. He just doesn't want Smithers in it.
That's true, because that's creepy. And leaves one more, you know,
it's
one
not,
more brick on the wall
I mean,
of Smithers.
Earlier in this episode, there's even Smithers, like, dreaming, I mean, having, like, a dream, sort of, not, I guess a daydream of birds emerging from a cake naked. It's not.
Yeah.
That's why all that news that came out recently, oh, they're going to have an episode this season about Smithers coming out. I'm like, what is it? It's
Smithers has been out for a very long time.
Yeah, it's not a mystery.
Even people on the show seem to know. Like, it's funny because, sorry, it's a quick digression. I've been watching the later seasons, as you guys know, and like season like 23 and on, no one is confused about Smithers' orientation in any way, shape, or form. Everyone in town knows except Mr. Burns. So maybe it's that Mr. Burns will finally find out.
I guess that's it. Maybe make Burns and Smithers have a confrontation about it. That,
yeah.
And that's more, if they, okay, we don't need to talk about an episode that's not even out yet.
That's true.
Milhouse is on milk cartons, Matt.
Well, of course, Milhouse ran away because who knows why. That or he's up in the treehouse. Bart has him tied up or something, you know. Maybe, who knows, it's Milhouse.
Okay.
There could be any number of reasons. But we then cut to Smithers still trying to make Mr. Burns forget about Bobo, and he has employed Dr. Frink to come up with a solution of some sort.
Well, it's not your original bear, of course. Hey, but it is programmed to be just as cuddly. Oh, Doc, supposed to be doing a little dance.
Bear off!
I got him. Trying to turn it off.
No, bear wants to live.
Best substitute ever.
I was
mechanical bear.
I honestly forgot that this was even in this episode. And
that's like the best part.
You've now said that about three different things, Matt. The best part of this
episode.
I know,
I know.
You can't sit on the fence like that.
Fine, whatever. Anyway, we then cut to Homer once again laid on the couch trying to recover from his injuries. He falls down the stairs. Is that right? That's how it happens? That he
realizes,
falls down the stairs?
Yes, he
knocks
we
the lamp
see,
over.
Yeah, we see a TV broadcast saying that, you know, that they're looking for this bear and Maggie has it, but then he doesn't realize it until he falls down the stairs.
That's right. And a lamp falls over and it highlights the bear and bathing it in light. And Homer first says, has his gag, how long have we had these fish? And then he's like, oh, it's Bobo. And then we cut to a wonderful family debate on what to do with the bear.
Bobo. It's Mr. Burns' bear, all right.
Well, Burns isn't getting this back cheap, I can tell you that. He's gonna have to give me my own recording studio. Do all beef, patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, onions, sesame seed bun.
Homer, you're drooling on the mic again.
I think we should just give him the bear that he cherishes so much.
Better sew that eye back on.
No, let's send Burns the eye in the mail. He'll pay more money if he thinks the bear's in danger.
Yes, we'll send the eye.
I'm sure he'll offer us a fair reward. And then we'll make him double it.
Huh?
Well, why can't I be greedy once in a while?
Oh, I love Greedy Marge. Yeah, for once, you get to see that she does have some baser urges in there.
Honestly, as we'll see, Burns can afford it.
That's true. That's one of the great gags later on, which actually we do see directly after this, that gag, because Homer and the family go to Mr. Burns' mansion to say, hey, we've got your bear. And they present it with him. And he's like, oh, naturally, I'm strapped for cash, so I can't give you much of a reward, as treasure falls from the ceiling. And he says, oh, as you can see, this old house is just falling apart. which when you have that much treasure, I'm sure you probably should have short supports. Maybe Burns should consult with an architect who's going to be storing that kind of heavy treasure. Obviously, it should all be in T-bills, but still, you know, Burns. Yeah. He's an old-fashioned kind of guy. We then see Burns and Homer finally get around to negotiating, and I believe Homer asks for... Well, actually, no, sorry. Before the final negotiations, they go back home, and Burns says that Homer will crack under the pressure. And, of course, immediately after that, we see Homer's face and the cracking sound as he tries to call Mr. Burns, and hopefully he can get that drink that Mr. Burns offered him, as which Homer assumes is for the bear. But luckily, the family is able to restrain him long enough for Burns and Smithers to show up at the front door, where they continue the negotiations with, I believe Homer is asking for... $10 million in two Hawaiian islands. Is that the correct amount?
I thought it was three.
Three Hawaiian islands. And good ones, not the leper one.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
They're leper colonies, which Burns immediately agrees to, because apparently he really wants this bear. But Maggie will not let the bear go. She loves Bobo. And Homer, showing some compassion for once in his life for his kids, says, you know, sorry, the deal is off. Maggie loves it way too much, which... I feel like he could have made it up to her in a lot of ways with three Hawaiian islands and that much money. But
yeah, I was about to say, like, maybe don't forfeit the future, basically, you know, safety of your family. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think of the way to put it.
Financial security?
Yeah, there you go. Financial security of your family on the whims of a child. But, you know, it is sweet.
Especially since she won't even remember it
when
she grows up. She's like, oh, Father, I vaguely recall you stealing my bear before we became trillionaires and I live my life on the water.
Is Maggie, she gets a, Atlantic accent because
she does,
because
rich
they're
people
rich.
Automatically, as soon as your financial net worth tips $1 billion, that accent just starts on you. It's something about having that much money. You get that accent.
Okay. All right. All right, man.
Of course, Burns is upset by this and swears revenge on Homer, saying that he will get that bear. And Homer is, of course, you know, a little disappointed, but says, hey, we're getting by all right. Right as Grandpa crashes the car into the front of the house and saying that he hit three people and doesn't have insurance. Now we cut to a commercial.
Poor. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe you want to make sure you have the money in case things happen.
Exactly.
But since they aren't willing to give a Bobo, Burns and Smithers they're willing to use nefarious means, and we see them become ninjas instead of just hiring ninjas. I guess they want to make sure that they get the job done right. You gotta do it yourself. They become ninjas. The first night's efforts do not work. They need to be rescued by the fire department and
the fire police.
Fire police. That's I almost said that. I said fire puh. That's not anything, Matt. Fire department. Mm-hmm. And next night they're slightly more successful. They actually get inside the house. But they are forced to basically hold their ground after Homer, for a late night snack, decides to eat an entire 64 slices of American cheese.
64 slices of American cheese. 64. 63. 2. 1.
Have you been up all night eating cheese?
I think I'm blind.
What? Good day to you.
Oh, God. And you had to choose American cheese, the worst kind of cheese.
Yeah, and yeah, it's like those Kraft disposable, individually wrapped slices, which are,
awful.
Depending on what you buy, aren't necessarily, they're like cheese product, even.
Yeah, some exactly. They're mostly vegetable oil.
Yeah. 64 of those. Oh man. Burns basically uses all means necessary that he can think of to persecute Homer, to try and force him, punish him until he will make Maggie give up the bear. He demotes him at work so that he is the one who turns the cupcake wheel for the kitchen. he takes over television, deprives Springfield of beer, which immediately brings Barney over to the house with a gun, which Homer just slams the door on him. Like, he doesn't even take the threat seriously. We do get a Burns and Smithers sitcom.
Smithers, I'm home.
What? Already?
Yes.
Is it my imagination or is TV getting worse?
Well, it's about the same. Oh, look out, Smithers! I love this show.
This is such a strange thing, but it's so funny.
It's just not working. Homer's still enjoying TV. Yeah, sorry, Burns.
It doesn't matter. The Smithers and Burns can make a terrible sitcom. It reminds me of Big Bang Theory, actually.
Hey.
Yeah. Sorry, the truth hurts, Matt. Yeah. Springfield, however, as they are wont to do, form a mob and come after the Homer and Maggie for the bear. They want their TV. They want their beer. They come to take it, but the same thing happens to them. Maggie starts whimpering, being sad, and they don't have the heart to take the bear from Maggie. And they return it and decide they're going to go sing songs at the hospital. For once, the mob does something right. They
right.
go be charitable. Burns finally comes to the Simpsons' house and his last resort, which is make Smithers beg for it. Honestly, what we know of Burns, he probably isn't able to get down on his knees.
Exactly.
I don't know if he'd be able to get back up. Homer pleads, like, I can't give it away. It is not mine to give. It is Maggie's bear. So we get, like, Burns goes and sits and talks to Maggie. And it's
the
kind
most
of
humbling activity he has ever partaken in.
It's actually a little sweet. He's honest with her, even in his attempts to steal it. He is unable. As we see, even, you know, later on in the series, he is weaker than an infant. He is unable to steal most anything. But Maggie, I guess, feels some sort of empathy for him and realizes that he needs it more than she does and gives him the bear. It is kind of sweet. It's a sweet thing, even though he did get the bear. He can't pay them what they, I guess not.
Well, he says that he's going to be good and he's going to be kind and generous to everyone from now on.
That is true, but he has Smithers to write it down. Smithers doesn't.
Poor Smithers just doesn't have a pen. So,
doesn't have a pen, I guess. Well, he'll remember.
It's all Smithers' fault.
Yeah, Burns will remember. He promises. And then we get this from the family.
Well, we didn't get any money, but Mr. Burns got what he wanted. Marge, I'm confused. Is this a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending. That's enough.
I always like it when the Simpsons have they've done it a few times already, but whenever they do, they're like, yeah, I mean,
it's a little meta.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, we're maybe like it's, and it's honestly reflecting life. I mean, I think that's why I like it so much, is that it's truthful. I mean, a lot of things just happen and then you're like, eh, okay, that happened.
That's the way that works. Yeah, that's the way life goes sometimes.
And that seems like the place they would end the show, but then we cut to the far, far future. I believe the year 10,000. Is that right?
Sounds about right. I think so.
Yeah, and we have we see Robo Burns in a head in a jar, which is, you know, a little shade of Futurama there, and dog Smithers head in a jar, but on a dog body. I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's perfect for Smithers because he is such a sycophant. That works perfectly.
I guess it's true. He still has, he reclaims Bobo again. So I guess this is like an eternal saga where he is constantly going to be losing Bobo and reclaiming him for all eternity.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the hero's journey. He has to lose his stuff and regain it over and over again.
The hero's
journey.
It's
like every sequel to every movie ever made.
I did not know Burns represented one of those archetypes.
Oh, yeah, Burns is a huge hero. Absolutely. Didn't you see his amazing saga of life?
Yes. We didn't mention this at the top of the show because this is all very, the whole episode is based on Citizen Kane to an extent. I think everyone knows that already, but I'll say it, because I feel dumb for not mentioning it, but yes, the whole episode is a Citizen Kane reference.
We do realize that, guys.
Yes, yes. I didn't mention because I think everyone realizes that at this point, but regardless, it's a good episode, Matt. I really,
it is a very
really,
good episode.
Really funny.
Way better than I remembered.
Really, the writing is great. It's not my favorite Burns episode. It's probably the Burns episode. If you want someone to just like watch one episode to get Burns, I think this is a good. They're probably the one to watch.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Because I mean, there are other episodes like Two Cars at Every Garage, Rise and Every Fish, and those sorts of things where something kind of similar happens, but this is the one that really gets to the I hate to use the word dichotomy of Burns is like this evil, twisted old man, but essentially a child inside, kind
of,
sort
of. Yeah, the innocence inside of him that, you know, that he is, that even despite being a awful person, there is still humanity in him. And, you know, did I lose you, Matt?
Nope, I'm here.
Okay, you just went really quiet. Your background has disappeared. That's okay. It's not, you didn't do it. But yeah, it's really a really good, smartly written, tight episode. Very funny. A lot of like the Ramon stuff, the 64 slices of American cheese. Like it just goes on and on. In fact, we have a submission for this for my favorite episode. I'll read it. It is from. How did I not include it's from? I'm a dummy, man.
No, you're just a very stressed individual.
Nah, I'm not stressed. Busy. Yes, it's from Alan. Alan sends this in. I will read. Hello, Simpsons Show. My vote for best episode ever is Rosebud. I first saw this episode while spending a year in Edmonton, Canada for my parents' work, 1983. While only 14, moving from Australia to Canada for a year exposed me to premiere Simpsons episodes not coming out a year after as they did in Australia. It made me laugh at nearly every second of the show. I don't think as much heart that some people look for in episodes to push over the top, but I reckon it has so many classic funny parts that can have been repeated over and over again by my friends and family that it's been pushed into the upper echelon. I love the fact that I get older. The older I got and started to watch old films, I could go back and watch episodes of The Simpsons and would pick up many different references that I didn't know at age 14. Citizen Kane was unknown to me when I first watched Rosebud, but after I saw the film, a lot of the references became instantly clear. A symbol of your childhood innocence, for example. Oh, this is also true for a lot of episodes. Made me appreciate how they weave the film into the episode and how it works so well. It's also the best episode about my most favorite side character, Mr. Burns. While Who Shot Mr. Burns is a more popular choice, I don't think that episode explores Burns' character as well as Rosebud. I think the episode is one of the few that shows the true Burns beneath the terrible exterior. The episode's range of references is also amazing. Citizen Kane, Wizard of Oz, Barney, Transatlantic Plane Crossing, The Soul Train, Planet of the Apes, etc., etc. Now, I don't think that range of references is strictly limited to this episode. I just think they do it best here. Also, I think this episode also has the highest rate of iconic scenes in Simpsons history. The Ramones, Happy Birthday, Barney, 2 + 2 = 4. I did not include that because it's frankly annoying listening to Homer loves it. The 64 slices of American cheese, Mr. Burns popping out of the cake in Smithers' mind, the journey of Bobo, the $1 million and three Hawaiian Islands, good ones, not the leper ones, Smithers, I'm home, the Burns Smithers sitcom, the Soul mass transit system, moldy old, I'm going to get something to eat, and Homer's comedy stylings, quiet, you awful man.
So good.
I couldn't say it better myself. It really is a very good episode. Maybe great. I don't know. I'm we'll rank it in the end of the show. I didn't mention that, of course. No comments from the news group this week. I'm not gonna play the clip because there's nothing. The news group cut out, I guess, for a little bit of time again. It has done it in the past. And it did it again, and I looked afterwards. It comes back up after our next episode, but there's not much mention of this one, which makes me a little disappointed because this is a kind of a very class, it's a very like well thought of episode in the history of The Simpsons, and I'd like to see people's thoughts at the time, but there wasn't really anything. Time though, Matt, there's no comments in the newsroom. However, there is time for listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow.
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow.
Our listener question for this week is, what is your favorite cultural reference in The Simpsons? There's a lot of them, so we got lots of different, lots of answers, which is interesting. Because you generally, you know, you ask kind of questions, kind of focused, you get a relatively small range of answers. This week, from Twitter, we have John at Chavelstyle311. Only who can prevent forest fires? You press you, referring to me. The correct answer is you. Yeah, it's really good. Hashtag play away from the bear. Mitch, he includes a picture of Milhouse playing the Waterworld arcade game, which costs 40 quarters, I believe, to get to play one game.
We gotta try and make up that budget somehow.
Yeah, this reference to the infamously over budget film is my favorite. Poor Milhouse. I like the movie too. It's honestly not a bad movie. It's not great, but it's not bad. Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Homer's phobia and the Scarface-esque car John drives. Jim, Big Boss, apparently he's been playing Metal Gear, at Wolves Schmoves.
Okay.
That just tickles my funny bone. His answer, there's Jimmy Page, one of the greatest thieves of American black music who ever walked the earth. Okay, I generally agree with that sentiment, Jimmy Page did steal a lot of riffs, but I don't buy that Homer would say that.
That's true. He wouldn't understand that.
That'd be Lisa. I think that's a Lisa thing. I think Lisa, one of my problems with kind of the later seasons is that, not the later, I guess the mid-seasons at this point. I mean, I have to reframe my my perspective, but often characters say things that aren't even, but the sentiment is true. Evan, on Facebook, Evan, being an Australian with a phone, this one really hits home. He includes a picture of an Australian saying $900 dues. He also was the first of several people to link me to the what do you call it, Matt? Have you seen this?
Have you seen this online? I don't think so.
It's a change.org, what do you call those things? Why am I so dumb?
Petition.
Petition, duh. A petition to change the currency in Australia to dollary dues.
Well, they absolutely should. I mean, why wouldn't you?
I know. I would more likely to visit Australia if they did that, just to get myself a dollary due. So stupid. I'm an idiot. But thank you, Evan, for that, as well as several others who linked me to it. I think it's great. Mike, I think one of the funniest visual gags the show ever did was in Lisa's first word. During coverage of the Olympics, we see a scene of a Korean gymnast who competed with a broken leg in a situation similar to Mary Lou Retton. What follows is too indescribable not to screen cap. It includes a screen cap of the guy landing and screaming, which is...
Ow.
Yeah. Next, from Robbie. Because of my own podcast, Legacy of Power, which Robbie, who's our guest on our recent bonus episode on our Patreon, has started his own Power Ranger podcast called Legacy of Power. Suggest you guys check it out. Give him a little plug. His answer is, I have to go with Homer Batman or Rock Bottom. Gives their list of mistakes they've made. If you pause your DVD at just the right time, you see licking an outlet will not turn you into a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. How great is that?
Nice.
Right. Nick, there are way too many, man. There are way too many, I think he's saying. I really love the Mystic Rapple. You're trying to seduce me from Lisa's substitute. The one I love the most is the Fantasia segment in Itchy and Scratchy Land. The use of the Sorcerer's Apprentice, which Itchy is the bloodstream of Scratchy, and chops him until he turns a skeleton is brilliant. Owen Hobart jumping over the wall to go to Disney World is always hilarious. Yeah, that's really good. That Fantasia segment, they really do a good job with that. Finally, from Holly, my favorite cultural reference is from season 16, episode 7, Mommy Beerist. Homer and Marge at the Springfield Googleplex watching previews and see the trailer for the DreamWorks movie Cards, coming summer 2005. 52 Jokers playing the game of their lives. This summer, the house is full, the deuces are wild. Beauty is the layering of cultural references with Eddie Murphy playing the Jack of Clubs, who gets arrested for thinking a king is a queen, and the Jack of Diamonds that says, you can't handle the twos, a la Jack Nicholson. If you don't know this one, definitely check it out. Okay, Matt. Honestly, I had no idea I can gauge what you're going to do. I have no idea. What is your answer?
I honestly, I'm going to have to go with one of my favorites because I have so many that I absolutely love. And I am going to go with essentially all of Itchy and Scratchy Land as a homage to Jurassic Park, which is just a fantastic, the choppering over, the elementary chaos theory, the Simpsons fighting back in the end. Just in general, I know it's a long one and it's an entire episode, which is kind of weird, but it is just so dead on. And I love Jurassic Park so much as a kid. So when I saw that, I was overjoyed at the Simpsons take up on it. So that's going to have to be mine.
With a dry cool wit like that, I can be an action.
Exactly.
I had to think about this, and there's so many that it's hard to pick just one. But today, my answer today is Pogs in Alf. Alf is coming back now in Pog form in Bart Sells His Soul.
That is so true.
Milhouse saying that and having Alf Pogs. Like, I went through a period of time where I loved Pogs, like every like 8-year-old boy in the 90s. They're the dumbest thing. I don't just collecting something. I guess I just even then I was a collector, and that is just it's so many layers.
It's the kind of thing you would have collected.
Yeah, and I love it. He's back in Pog form. So next week's question, Matt. What is your we see Hitler, we see Lindbergh in this episode. What is your favorite Lord. Historical reference from The Simpsons?
That's gonna be a tough one.
I know mine already.
Oh, okay.
I already have it in mind. I immediately thought of the question, and then immediately I went, oh, that's my answer. But I'm interested to see what you guys pick. There's a lot of them, honestly. You don't, like, that's a really fun thing about The Simpsons is that they generally are pretty smart about their, you know, when they cite history in general. And I'm an American history buff, so, or a fan. I'm going to go fan, not buff. I'm going to do the Dan Carlin thing.
There you go.
I'm a fan of American history.
But you are pretty buff, too, so, you know.
Oh, well. Okay, Matt, with that, it is time for our No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will challenge each other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. This season we have stakes. Whoever loses our, this challenge over the season, season 5, will have to drink a shake, a milkshake. Calling a milkshake is probably a misnomer because a milkshake, which is probably a misnomer because I don't think there will be any milk in it. We're going to have like a Duff beer, like a piece of pork chop, some onion rings, like a whole bunch of stuff that we've been sent in, mostly from Fan of Holly. I think a few others have sent stuff in. I don't know why you're making all those noises, Matt. You're winning. I think you're winning.
Oh,
right
by
now.
Like one, maybe two, I think.
You're winning by 2 points, okay? And I don't know. I don't feel good about my chances. You generally are better at this than I am with that brain of yours, that big old brain. Start us off, Matt. Give me an easy question. I want an easy question, okay? I think last week's question was not easy.
This week, they're pretty easy, okay? I tried to, you know, organize them. Anyway, your easy question. Name two of the four bullies that constantly menace Springfield Elementary.
Do I get bonus points if I name all of them?
No. If you get all four, you can have one bonus point.
You don't have to give us points. I don't need to cheat. Dolph, Jimbo, Kearney, Nelson.
That is correct. Actually, the bonus point comes, do you know who is technically the leader of those four? Like, which one of them is widely construed as the leader?
Is it Kearney?
No, actually, it is Nelson.
Nelson's the leader?
I looked around a whole bunch of places, and they all agreed that Nelson is agreed upon as the leader, despite being the youngest, because he is the toughest and the strongest.
Okay, all right. I don't think it matters that much, but... Okay, Matt, your easy question. What does the CM stand for in CM Burns?
Well, it depends. Are you talking about Mr. Burns? Because in that case, it's Charles Montgomery.
Okay, yes.
But if we're talking the canary, it's not, Canary Montgomery.
I'm talking
Burns.
About, this is an easy question, man. I'm not trying to trick you. Okay. I was going to be cool
so Charles
and, make you,
Montgomery
and make you say his full name, which is has extra names in it. But no, Charles Montgomery, true. You're correct. Give me a medium question. Let's go.
All right, medium question. When Lisa becomes president in Bart to the Future, how many secret murders does she get, according to Kearney?
I think I knew this at one point, but I think...
Come on. Just give me a number. Give me
I know,
number.
It's going to be a guess. 7.
Nope, sorry. It is 3. 3 secret murders. And she has to use them up before her term is over, otherwise she loses them.
Okay. For your medium question, Matt, why is Burns demoted to the rank of private in Raging Abe Simpson... Yeah, the rest.
And the Curse of the Flying Hellfish.
No,
I believe
it's Raging Abe Simpson and his grumbling grandson. Yes, the first one.
Yes. Sorry. You're right. That was way too long. I believe he was busted down for obstructing a probe from J. Edgar Hoover. They don't say what kind of probe, so let's just hope it was an investigative probe and not a different kind of probe.
That is correct.
Thank you. All right. Your hard question. What kind of car does Kearney drive that Chalmers and Skinner try to steal the hood ornament from?
A Hyundai.
That is correct.
I'm going to take them as points. I asked you that exact question like 4 weeks ago.
Really? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive. Maybe it wasn't from me. I think it was one of our listener questions. One of our listeners.
Okay.
But I'm going to take the points if you can't remember that. Okay, Matt. This is a hard question. Smithers describes employees from Sector 7G in many ways over the years. Name 5 of them.
Let's see. There's Chowderheads. Let's see. Organ sacks. Damn.
There's one in this episode.
In this episode.
Mm-hmm. That's why I thought of it.
Damn. Smithers. I honestly can't think of them off the top of my head. I'm sure I will recognize every single one of them once you tell me, but I can't think of any more than that.
You can't look. How about this? Who's that, Smithers? That's Homer Simpson. One of your blank from Sector 7.
Oh, I know. That keeps replaying in my head, but I can't think of anything to go with it.
So you said, what was it? Chowderheads, organ sacks?
And organ sacks, yes.
Okay.
And what else is there?
There's one this episode. It's even in our notes.
Is it? That's just...
You read it.
Yes, carbon blobs.
There you go.
All right, and let's see what else. I can think of what Mr. Burns calls them better for some reason from the Marge Gets a Job episode, but for some reason I just cannot remember what Smithers calls them. There's so many.
There are. I have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Wow. I'm bad at lists, apparently.
You're generally not, actually, Matt. Last week, you named the three backup musicians that were in one episode in Lisa's, in a dream of Lisa's, which I barely remember.
That's true,
remember.
Because somebody said them all in a row. Apparently, my brain works on, like, hearing things and being able to regurgitate it. I got nothing.
Okay. So. Here we go. Mouth breathers. The carbon blobs, drones, trained monkeys, fork and spoon operators, chair moisteners, low-level employees, that's early on, stiffs, boobs, organ, I saw multiple answers for organ banks, organ bags, organ sacks, so I'll, schmoes, which is also early on, and you said chowderheads, which I'm fairly certain is correct, I just did not find them, but that's all of the ones I could find. And or whatever. Right.
Yeah. Oh well, I failed. It happens.
You didn't. I have some more questions.
All right.
A lot of them. I'm not going to read all of them. But Jessica was kind enough to send in a multitude of questions about Simpsons in the elements. You know, weather related questions.
Oh, okay.
She has provided easy, medium, and hard questions. Let's go. I'll give you an easy, medium, and hard.
I like it.
In Hurricane Nettie, what was Cat Chow renamed?
Oh, what was Cat Chow renamed?
Mm-hmm.
It was People Chow, wasn't it?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
It was Cat Chow renamed?
Cat was crossed out, black lettering above it.
Right, and I thought it was People.
Mm-mm.
It was not People.
No. There was Bachelor Chow in Futurama, but this is different. What happened in Hurricane Nettie, Matt?
People went crazy. And
what was at the beginning of Hurricane Nettie, Matt?
The hurricane.
There you go.
And people were fighting for it.
Hurricane
Chow. Okay. Okay. I gotcha.
Or,
that's what happens when you watch these in the background and don't actually look at them.
Maybe start actually watching television when you're watching
television. It'd probably be a good idea, right?
Yeah. Instead of just having it on. It's not a radio show. Medium question. In Mountain of Madness, I know one of your favorites, what caused the avalanche that strands Homer and Burns the first time?
Oh, the first time. Isn't it Bart clapping?
Nope.
No. What caused the avalanche? Normally these come really quickly, but for some reason today my brain's just not working.
I need to enroll Jessica on my trivia team.
Apparently, she's really good at, I honestly have no idea.
Champagne glasses.
Oh, they clink together. That's correct. That's right.
Bonus question. What causes it the second time?
It's just them talking, correct?
They're celebrating.
They talk again and again. Yeah.
They celebrate getting out of the cabin.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, hard question. Let me see. No, we'll do this one. It's fine. According to the site AccuWeather, what national disaster has not been featured in a canonical episode of The Simpsons? Multiple choice. Avalanche, okay. Flood, heat wave, hurricane, snowstorm, or tornado?
Read it to me one more time.
Avalanche, flood,
yes,
wave,
yes, yes,
hurricane,
yes,
snowstorm,
yes,
tornado.
I'm gonna have to go with tornado.
Flood.
There's definitely been a flood. Homer floods the town when he's pretending to be Christo.
Mm-hmm. What episode is that?
That is. Let me look up the name of it.
This is according to AccuWeather, so.
I guess, okay, it's not really a natural disaster. It's more of a man-made disaster.
Yeah, they do say natural. I'm guessing it means natural disaster.
Okay, so yeah, natural disaster. So yeah, flood would be, yeah, okay.
And there has been a tornado.
Fair enough. Tornado. When has there been a tornado? Oh, well.
What is, during the Springfield tornado of 2013, what does Marge compare the tornado to? There's a question about tornadoes in this segment, Matt. So there's the tornado. God's vacuum cleaner, by the way, is the answer.
Ah, okay.
Marge compares it to God's vacuum cleaner, which vacuum cleaners are generally not that destructive.
Well, they could be, I suppose.
Okay. I think that's it.
You're done making me look bad for the day? Okay.
Oh, it's not my fault. You can't remember that I asked you the question you asked me.
Yeah. I know. I'm dumb.
You're still ahead, man. You're still ahead. You're up by one. You're winning.
Okay.
See, this is what's happening, folks. As we get closer and closer, this is only like four episodes in, where Matt's going to get more cutthroat as we go. Okay, folks. It is time for our final segment. It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
best episode ever. Spar Show, where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt?
It's a tough one. Because, I mean, I honestly forgot how good it was. Like, watching through, again, there, like, I think the person who cited it as their favorite episode said that, you know, a lot of the bits in this are pretty famous and very memorable. And God, I'm trying to think, where is a good, where's another good Mr. Burns episode? Closer to the top, I would think.
A Burns episode. We don't really have a Burns episode that's close to the top.
Well, there's Brush with Greatness, which is more of a Marge episode, but it's got Burns in it.
It has a lot of Burns in there too, but that's way down the list at the point.
Last I said to Springfield. I don't think it's quite as good as that one, but that is tends to have some Mr. Burns in it since he is the primary antagonist.
Yeah, it's true. Mm. He's the antagonist in it, but that's more of a Homer episode, honestly.
Right.
It's one of the Burns episodes. It's gonna go high.
Definitely.
I would put it's comparable to, for me to. I think it's it goes above Mr. Plow.
Really above Mr. Plow.
I think it's as funny as Mr. Plow, but it has heart in it. It has character stuff in it. You see Burns. I like that kind of the Maggie Burns scene at the end. Really. You see Burns. Anytime you see Burns like emotionally vulnerable, I really like that, and it is hilarious. It has multiple gags that are some of the best.
That's true, and not to mention all of the wonderful allusions that we enjoy so much to, you know, cultural properties. That is very heavy in this one.
It's tough because Last Exit to Springfield is really, really good. You wouldn't put it above Last Exit to Springfield?
I don't think so. I definitely it's not as good. Mr. Plow, though, you're definitely winning me over. So I think it's not quite as good as Last Exit to Springfield, but it's better than Mr. Plow.
Oh, and that's the tooth. I'm trying to think back to Last Exit to Springfield. It wasn't that long ago, honestly.
True. It's Calvin Klein's obsession for teeth. Homer has one of the Three Stooges doing the whoop, 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 whoop.
I kind of want to put it higher. I want to put it at number 6. I don't know.
We can fight for it if you want. I am going to see you later tonight, so you know we can.
I don't fight. I'm old man. No, we can put it below it. It's fine.
Okay.
I want to say they're the same, but we can't do that. And
yeah.
You break the tie, so it would go below. So
it's definitely close. I'm not going to lie.
Rosebud will go right below Last Exit Springfield, right above Mr. Plow. Top 10, number 7. Cape Fear, number 1. Tough competition still coming up, I think. 84, last place, Homer's Odyssey. What is our next episode, Matt?
Let's see. Let's check the list. I believe we are at another Treehouse of Horror, number 4. Starting to get to the good side.
The good side?
You there? Well, the better Treehouse of Horrors.
The early ones are still good. 3 was good. 3 had
they're
zombies.
Good, but they're getting to the point where they're really good.
I'm actually excited about this season because they actually have a regular Halloween episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a horror. It's just them, the Simpsons, during Halloween, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No? No, Matt? Nothing? You don't care?
I said, uh-huh. Yeah. I agree.
This is a podcast, Matt. Talking.
Sorry.
Better than
I should
noises.
Expound upon it. Yes, I absolutely agree. It's not like a horror ripoff or send up or anything. It's like you said. It's what they're doing and they're starring in it. So it's a little more interesting than just
another
horror movies with
another
Simpsons in their
places. Another Treehouse of Horror parodies. You can find this list on our website. It is simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find lots of stuff there. You can find links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. Forgot to mention, listener question will be posted on our social media, but I think you guys know that at this point. Links to this list to our Patreon if you want to support us that way. And new episodes, of course. Before we get going, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. You want to follow me there? And please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, etc. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain subscriber on Patreon.
That's true. However, I have decided that this week I'm going to be taking my magic act on the road and will be attempting to escape from prisons across the country. So if you hear a struggle in your prison cell next door, just tap on the wall in Morse code and I'll probably answer.
You think there's a lot of prisoners listening to podcasts, Matt?
I don't know. Prisoners get to do a lot of things in those minimum security prisons.
Do you think they get iTunes in prison?
I would hope so. I mean, if not, that's just rude.
Okay, Matt. Okay. With that.
Good thing I don't have to keep a straight face.
With that, I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching this episode. Shh.